A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Alexis the Midwife.
And I'm Becky the Doula.
Welcome to Notes from the Mother Box, where we will be having real and frank conversations about the highs and lows of the parenting journey.
If you enjoy this episode, don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and follow us over on Instagram.
We are delighted that we have a fantastic partnership this season with Sophie Le Giraffe, especially because this year is Sophie's 60th birthday.
Ooh, exciting. And we do have some exciting things lined up in Sophie's honour across this season, including a special birthday celebration episode.
We cannot wait for that one. That episode is going to be published on May the 25th, her exact birthday.
Slightly random, but I realised the other day that actually the giraffe shape is perfect, isn't it? Because of the long neck and the legs, it's perfect for baby to grab. I'd always wondered why it wasn't another animal. Now we know.
Absolutely, Becky. I think it definitely has to do with the fact that Sophie has a long neck and babies with their pincer grip, as they're learning to move their hands forward, grasp what they want to bring to them, and then they explore them, don't they? So it works perfectly.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you want to see the full range of Sophie Le Giraffe products, head over to sophielegiraffe.co.uk. So pop the kettle on, pour yourself a cuppa, get comfy, and enjoy this week's episode of Notes from the Mother Box.
Today, we are very lucky to be joined by Tina Mason, one of the best women's health physios around, who also happened to write a brilliant physio section for us in the Little Book of Self-Care for Mums-to-Be. Tina is a mother of two who runs a fabulous women's health physio clinic in Brighton and helps us look after lots of our lovely pre and postnatal mamas. Tina, thanks for coming and joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me, ladies.
Welcome, welcome, darling. Obviously, today we are going to be talking about all sorts of things to do with perineums, pelvic floors, rectums, vulvas, vaginas. We're going to be going there.
It's our favourite topic, basically.
And as a physio, a doula and a midwife, we are so okay with that. But just to get started, backtracking slightly, because obviously you're an incredible physiotherapist, can we talk a little bit about your own experiences of having your own two children, the pregnancies and the births and the postnatal recovery for you?
Absolutely. So when I actually had both my children, I wasn't a women's health specialist. So I did come across quite a few problems after I had my children. My pregnancies and births were pretty straightforward. I was an incredibly lucky mum to have two spontaneous vaginal deliveries in a pool, one in a birth suite in the hospital, the second one at home, which was incredible. But I did, with the first one, have secondary degree tear. I did have stitches. Mm-hmm. I didn't look after myself because I didn't know. I was specialising in musculoskeletal health, didn't know much about women's health. Mm. After my first child, planned to get married, you know, had to get the wedding dress on, did everything that most mums do, and did all of the high impact cardio exercise without looking after myself at all. Had previous slight back problems before having children from lots of sort of snowboarding incidents when I was doing seasons and stuff. And then in my second pregnancy, back went completely 20 weeks and ended up having to have surgery for it a couple of years after my daughter was born because I was in so much pain, which then massively reduced my ability to look after my children, which I felt really guilty for. You know, couldn't carry my daughter, couldn't carry my son. And all of that was definitely down to not rehabbing properly. And it was after I had them that, and after looking into all of this, that it made me realise how important women's health physio is. And that's when I retrained and have specialised in that area, because you know, my pelvic floor, I didn't look after it, I would still have a little leak on, you know, running after my children in the park. And, you know, my core muscles were absolutely shot. And there was me trying to do all of these like running and high impact stuff, and which just completely screwed my back because of the fact that it wasn't supported at all.
It's insane, isn't it? We talk about this quite a lot because obviously in other cultures, body work plays a massive part in your natural maternity care. So it's part of the package. It's part of, you know, you get treated in pregnancy, you get treated postnatally. And what we see over here, and Tina, you and I talk about this quite a lot in clinic anyway, is that women get signed off at 6 weeks by a GP and the GP hasn't even touched them, hasn't laid a hand on them, hasn't even really asked necessarily any questions about their physical well-being. It's usually a mental health check, isn't it, at your sort of 6 week check often. And then women go back, like you say, to high intensity without having their body. And you think about the changes that your body goes through in pregnancy and then through birth. It's insane that we don't get checked properly.
I see lots of ladies who have found out from friends to come and see me for excuse me, for like a 6-10 week check. When I speak to them about their GP checks, they only ever get checked if they say to them, I think I've got a prolapse or I think I've got something going on. But most of the time the GP's like, how's your mental health? How's the baby? Are your stitches healed? Okay, carry on. And, you know, I've had ladies who've come to see me saying, I told the GP that I was leaking and they said, oh, it will just get better. And it's not okay. Whereas, you know, in other cultures you are routinely seen by a women's health physio, you're routinely given exercises, and that's, you know, something that I think we should be massively promoting to get checked so that, you know, you do get yourself like fit and healthy again, especially if you want to have another child, because having two children puts even more strain on your body, so that you can be the fittest, healthiest mum that you want to be.
Absolutely. And I say this from experience, because truth be told, after many years in midwifery, I would often point women towards, if they were having problems postnatally, you know, I'd point them in the direction to go speak to a GP. You might get a referral to the physiotherapist. But I put my hands up and I admit there was never one time when I would have pointed someone in the direction of seeing a specialist women's health physio. And that's really perhaps that investment of seeing someone who specialises so well in that area, that specialism. And I wish I'd known about it before, but it was only in recent years, obviously, when Becky and I met you down here in Brighton, that I had this aha moment and I thought, oh, we've been missing a trick all of these years. And there are physiotherapists who specialise in this and can actually make a huge difference.
And I think this is why the conversation needs to keep being had, because like you say, Tina, lots of the time people don't know, they know something doesn't quite feel right, but they don't know where to go. So I had a prolapse after my second and I went to the GP, and it was only because I worked in the pre and postnatal bodywork field that I knew what it felt like. So I went and I said, I think I've got a prolapse. And I was referred to gynae. I had a really dodgy time there. Most gynaes are great, but unfortunately, I got told I needed surgery for a rectocele and cystocele. I got offered a full hysterectomy aged 30 because they were sort of like, you could nip this bit, but your womb might fall down. So, and only because I knew that it was a muscular thing, I was like, well, whoa, hold on. We should try physio first, right? Yeah. But if I hadn't have worked in that field, I wouldn't have really known to question that. And then I did 6 weeks pelvic floor physio, completely fine. You know, had a minor grade cystocele still, but the rectocele had rectified. So you're just like, we need to talk about this more so people do know how to access the help, don't we?
Absolutely. So many people, because that first port of call is going to the GP, then they get referred to gynae, then the gynaes can be quite gung-ho with the whole surgery. Often they'll just say, just leave it until you finished having children and then we'll just nip it all back up again, which is not acceptable, because if you can have conservative treatment and you can actually get yourself better by just doing rehab, then it's so much better, because ultimately your pelvic floor is a muscle. It's exactly the same as if you were training your bicep or your thigh muscle, or, you know, if you broke your leg and you were non-weight bearing for 6 weeks, your muscles would be a lot weaker and you'd have to build them up again. It's exactly the same as after having a baby. You know, the weight of the baby has been pressing on that muscle for like probably from about 5-6 months when it's got heavier. That muscle's not working effectively, it then has to be retrained. It's also then stretched during labour if you've had a vaginal delivery. Mm-hmm. With a C-section, you know, you've been cut in your abdominal muscles, your core muscles as well. So, and they have a co-contraction with the pelvic floor. They work together to stabilize that whole pelvic structure. So everything has been stretched or cut, and it's not going to then work effectively. So you have to then rehab it. And the big thing with pelvic floor rehab as well is it has to be slow and functional. You can't just go, right, 3 months in, 3 months postnatally, I'm feeling fantastic, I'm just going to go and run. Because yeah. that impact of just that constant impact and gravity and the lack of support is just going to cause problems with your pelvic organs.
Yeah. This goes back to that recovery though as well. And obviously, yeah. you know, Becky and I and the Little Book of Self-Care for New Mums and how passionate we are about women really taking their time and this awful sort of bounce back culture where you have to show up, you have to show willing, you've got to be out running and walking the dogs yeah. or doing whatever you were doing prior to having babies quite soon afterwards. And I do think some changes are coming. I do think women and birthing people are being more intentional about recovering after they've yeah. birthed, whether it be abdominal or vaginal, but we've still got a long way to go. And I will add that certainly for me, and I am going back a bit because I did my training to be a midwife back in 2004, so it's quite a long time ago now. I don't remember ever having a physiotherapist come and talk to my cohort.
Yeah, really?
I don't remember any women's physiotherapist at all coming and talking to us about what it means during pregnancy, all the physiological changes that happen, birth itself and the impact postnatally.
Yeah.
And had I have known that myself, perhaps I would have cared for myself even slightly better during the pregnancies and following in the postnatal period to my own three birth experiences.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was a naivety there, and I didn't have the depth of knowledge to really understand. And that's why Tina meeting you was such an absolute godsend.
It's a real difficult one because in the NHS there are, well, generally, I think there are few and far between women's health specialists within the NHS because the service is so limited. The patients that they are seeing are the worst of the worst. They're the really, really bad ones, like the doubly incontinent, the ones where you've got a grade 3 or 4 prolapse where it's, you know, it's fully coming out of the vagina. And so they're not seeing the day-to-day ones that should be picked up. You know, if you've had a 3C tear, so a full tear all the way through the perineum, you've had major problems, then that's the patients that they're picking up, but they're not actually seeing anyone routinely, which then makes all the mums assume that they're fine to carry on.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think also that, like you were saying about, you sort of expect symptoms postnatally, like we're taught, aren't we, that we just put up with it, and we have those annoying ads, which, don't get me wrong, those piddle pads are great if you need them, but it's sort of that the narrative behind those ads are, it's okay, you know, it doesn't matter, it's natural, and it doesn't say, but you should go and be seen by somebody and get some support. So in clinic I'm seeing more and more and more women with prolapses, but none of them are talking. So the when we start having our conversation, it's still feels like a bit of a taboo, like something that's quite isolating that people don't talk about very much. When I had mine, I think maybe because of the work that I do, I was telling everybody.
Yeah.
And then suddenly loads of friends were having aha moments going, oh God, yeah, I've had that. And they'd been walking around with it, like just putting up with it, because again, they thought, well, it's just postnatal. Do you know like the percentage of women suffering with some sort of pelvic floor dysfunction post-birth nowadays?
So I've got a few stats for you, facts and stats for you. They are, unfortunately, lots of the women's health research is quite old still.
Yeah.
But Hagen and Stark in 2011, that was the earliest, latest one I could find. They were said 50% of women who have had children have some degree of symptomatic or asymptomatic pelvic organ prolapse.
Okay.
And that's mainly vaginal births. But you can still have problems with C-section because a lot of the time C-sections are emergency C-sections. So you've spent all of that time pushing, a long labour of pushing.
Yeah.
And then you have a C-section. So you're then doubly weaker in that area.
Yeah.
And also I think there's a... So 66% of women with a diastasis rectus abdominis have a pelvic floor support dysfunction. leading to stress, urinary incontinence, and pelvic organ prolapse.
Right. So, okay, so the stats are high. Really that's an old, yeah. So one of the things I think would be helpful for people listening, because quite often clients of mine will only have an aha moment when I say, are you feeling this? Are you feeling that? You know, because there isn't even much literature on what are the symptoms of pelvic organ prolapse. So maybe you could talk through like what women should look out for. And if they're feeling any of those symptoms, then who they could go and see. That might be helpful for people listening.
So one of the biggest things that I think women generally don't look at their own bodies. I think we are massively shamed into thinking that our vulvas are private because they are our private parts, and because they are hidden, we shouldn't look at them. So a lot of the time women only look at them after they've had birth, given birth, and they've had stitches, and they've gone, I best see if the stitches are healed, and then go, oh my goodness, what on earth is going on down here? And, you know, if we were a bit more in touch with ourselves, like actually have a look, you know, I've got a 6-year-old daughter, and as soon as she says, Mummy, my vulva's sore, I'm like, right, let's get the mirror out. Let's have a look. You have a look. You see if it's sore. You see if you've cleaned yourself properly. Let's put some cream on. And that's what women should be doing. We should all be having a look so that when you do have symptoms or problems, then you can be more aware of it. So prolapse symptoms, you can feel like a heaviness, a dragging feeling inside, a bit like if you go for a run or if you jump, you feel like your insides are slightly falling out, like you just feel like that dragging inside.
I remember when I knew that it was I'd experienced that, was that we'd gone to Brighton Town Hall. I've told you this story, Becky, before.
Yeah.
We'd gone to register Wilf, my youngest baby's birth, and we were walking outside afterwards, and I said to turn to Dan and went, I feel like I've got a tampon that's falling out. And he went, right. Yeah. And I went, well, I'm not wearing a tampon, darling. I've just had a baby. I was like, what is going on? And I did exactly that, Tina. I went home. I knew what was going on. I went home and I had a check, and I could actually see it.
Yeah.
The vaginal wall slightly coming down. And I actually went to the GP and we looked into it at that point. But yeah, that was the sensation for me. It was like, feels like a tampon's falling down and out.
Yeah. And then if you have a look, you know, get a mirror, squat over a mirror, have a look. You'll see it more as well in standing, because gravity will come down. If you do see anything sort of in the entrance to the vagina, look for a women's health physio, get yourself checked. Examinations by women's health physios, they're really gentle. They're not like smear tests. There's no like legs in the air, speculums, all this sort of thing. It is just a gloved finger with a bit of lube just to feel the inside, check the muscle contractions.
I think during my check with you, Tina, weren't we talking about Netflix programs?
Yeah.
I think we were talking about what Netflix programs we recommended. I mean, it really wasn't, you know, uncomfortable or awkward. It's a very gentle exam, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've been there too. I've got the T-shirt.
Tina's looked after both of us.
Looked after both of us. And when you were examining me, I just found it really fascinating, because obviously you were talking me through what was going on, and suddenly the feelings I've been having really made a lot of sense to me. To be honest, and it was a light bulb moment for sure.
It's a very gentle examination, and I think the awful thing though with that is that women, after they've had a baby, they feel so like that they have been looked and touched by everyone, that actually when they come to see me, they're not that embarrassed either, because they're just like, well, everyone else has done it. So I do try and make it as gentle and as kind as possible, and you know, cover you up as much as possible, because you know, it is, you lose your dignity a little bit when you have a child, so I try and make it as nice as possible.
And is there anything that we can do to prevent prolapsing? Is there anything that we can do to kind of strengthen the pelvic floor in pregnancy, or anything that we should avoid? I mean, I know one of the things that we were told in our training was pushing, like if you need a poo, you shouldn't push at all, and to kind of raise your knees up. So what are the kind of things that you can do to help
Tina
yourself?
Loves raising the knees up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's one of her things.
Little stool by
little
the toilet.
Stool. You need your stool.
Yeah, absolutely.
We call it the stool. You have to have the stool. Knees up, because squat position. When you're not in that position, the rectum is kinked by one of your muscles. So if you are a little bit constipated, which often happens in pregnancy and post-birth, the feces has to go around a bend. You don't want that, because that means you have to strain more. So by putting your feet up into a squat position, that allows the rectum to be straight again, and the movement can go straight down. Mm. But the big thing is don't push. So when you're picking up your baby, when you're lifting anything up, like if you've got a toddler, you pick them up, don't hold your breath, because that's bearing down and that's pushing down. Mm. When you are a little bit constipated, just wait, drink some water, have some prune juice, and then have your knees up. Don't strain, breathe out. All of these movements and activities where you feel like you need to strain, you want to be breathing out so that you're not bearing down. Because as soon as you increase that abdominal pressure, that pushes down onto the pelvic organs. If your pelvic floor muscles underneath the pelvic organs aren't strong enough to counteract that abdominal pressure, everything's just going to fall down.
Absolutely. Women that we see often will say, oh, I just keep forgetting to do pelvic floor exercises. I'm so busy, especially if they've already got a child already.
Yeah.
Have you got any tips as to how, you know, what point in the day is good to do it? Little maybe handy ideas as to when they could slip it into the general busyness and fullness of life, really?
So with any urinary incontinence or pelvic organ prolapse, the NICE guidelines do say that you should try and do a full set of pelvic floor exercises 3 times a day, and that will take minimum of 12 to 16 weeks of doing those exercises for either urinary incontinence or pelvic organ prolapse to improve. It is tough, but I would say try and do them in the morning rather than the evening, because when you've been up on your feet, you're carrying babies, toddlers, getting on with your day, later on in the day, the muscles are going to be tired. Again, they're muscles just like any other muscle. If you're tired, those muscles are going to be tired. So try and do them first thing in the morning. It really depends on what state your pelvic floor is in, whether you need to be doing them lying down, sitting down, standing up. But if you can feel that engagement, so it's anus to pubis, so it's stopping yourself passing wind to stop yourself having a wee. If you can feel that contraction and hold it and keep breathing and keep talking, then that's great. Just try and think about doing them throughout the day. I always say to my patients that are a little bit further along the line, doing better, right? Think about it when you're brushing your teeth. Think about it when the kettle's boiling. Think about it when you're waiting for the pasta for your kids, you know, making dinner. All of those things. Think about it when you're pushing that buggy up the hill. You don't have to hold it for the whole time, but it's just learning to engage it again and making the brain remember that this is when the muscles should be working, and just switching them back on again.
One of the most helpful things that we did when I came to see you was that you actually, during the examination, asked me to do a pelvic floor exercise.
Yeah.
And you were like, that's the one, that's where it's working.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, right. Okay. That's how I need to be doing it. And again, I'm saying this from the perspective of the fact that I am a midwife. I've been working with birthing people for so many years, but actually, like I said beforehand, you have that depth of knowledge, Tina, because you are a specialism in that remit. And actually it was so, so good to know that and to hear it from you.
Well, there's a really high percentage of women that are doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're not taught, though, are we?
No, exactly.
Like, no one teaches us properly, unless we come and see people like you.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the other thing I wanted to say in this, was that there are so many products out there to support strengthening your pelvic floor. You know, you can get weighted balls. There's the LV. There's all of these biofeedback machines and things like that. And don't get me wrong, I do use biofeedback and I do use STIM in clinic if needs be. But you know, lots of my patients come in and say, oh, should I get an LV, should I get, I bought some weighted balls, shall I use this? And I'm like, no, don't bother. Like, it's so much easier not to have to put something in, turn your phone on, check the thing, you know, all of this, when you could have just done it by the time you've done all of that. You know, it's a simple exercise that you can do. No one needs to know you're doing it. If you're weak, it's good to sit down and properly concentrate on it. But if you're getting stronger, then you don't need all these gizmos and gadgets. And especially with things like the LV, if you're not doing your pelvic floor exercises correctly, all it does is you're trying to get the circle to go up and meet the ring on your screen, and you're trying to get it to go as high as you can. Mm-hmm. You end up using all the wrong muscles. So you end up using your leg muscles, your bottom muscles and things like that. And that's what lots of ladies often do is they overuse their abdominal muscles or their leg muscles.
We found that, didn't we? When you were looking at me, I had actually been using the LV because I'd been sent it and I was thinking, well, I'll give it a little go. And I had been overusing my abdominals and you were like, no, you need to stop. So I wasn't accessing the right muscles. I think the LV is great for maintenance later because actually it's really good for making you want to go back and do your pelvic floor exercises because there's actually little games that you can track on your mobile phone. I think the thing is that you need to learn to do the exercises first, learn the basics, and then you can use the LV app afterwards for maintenance.
Yeah, the muscle has to be really strong before you can use these things. And then we have to do pelvic floor exercises for life. It's not just a postnatal thing or during pregnancy. Once we hit perimenopause and our estrogen levels drop, the muscles do become less effective. They're not as strong. They're not as elastic. They don't spring back exactly like our skin. You know, this is why we get wrinkles and all that sort of stuff. The tissues just don't bounce back. So if you can have a really strong pelvic floor throughout your life, and especially postnatally, and keep that going, you're going to have fewer problems in perimenopause and menopause for things like prolapse and incontinence, because there's a much higher risk of having prolapse at menopause if you've had vaginal deliveries.
I can't stop doing them while you're talking about it.
I was thinking the same. I'm like,
it's going up and down like a lift down there, Dan, and I've got to be honest with you.
Fantastic.
What do you think about perineal massage, Tina? Just out of interest, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't think it's going to do any harm. I will be honest, I don't really know if the evidence behind it, but I don't think that there's any harm in it at all. I think if you can stretch that perineum out and you can soften it up a little bit pre-birth, then fantastic.
It's one of those things I find that anecdotally women often will report back that it had a positive impact on their bodies, but the evidence isn't solid enough for us to give it the go ahead as such. But we've got to listen to women and the experiences that they're having as well. I think that's very important.
Absolutely. So I did it with both of mine and had minimal damage down there.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
We hope you're enjoying our chat with Tina so far, but now for a little ad break because Lex and I want to tell you some more about the fabulous Sophie Le Giraffe and why she's so popular with babies all around the world.
From the age of 3 months, Sophie is designed to stimulate each of your little one's senses, the next one of which is taste. And this is important, isn't it, Becky? Because Sophie is made of 100% natural rubber and food-grade paints, so we can assure you she is completely safe to chew. Her soft texture and chewable parts makes her the perfect companion for your baby's sore gums during teething.
And as the series goes on, we'll be going through all the other senses that make Sophie so special for your little ones, as if we needed any more reasons to love her. But right now, let's get back to the second part of our brilliant chat with Tina.
I actually had to see a physio in my second pregnancy because my sciatica was so, so awful. And basically, it turns out that my glutes had given up and run away to the hills.
Yeah.
And the rest of my body was trying to overcompensate for it. And I have to say, the pain was excruciating.
It's really, really common. Because of the relaxin that's soaring through your body, the hormone, when you're pregnant, it does make all of your tissues much stretchier, which is what you'd need for your tummy to get bigger, for your pelvis to widen. But that does cause your pelvic floor to become weaker and your pelvis becomes a lot weaker as well. Us ladies are terrible at glute work. You know, most women you see, they've got really, really weak glutes. We overuse the front of our hips, so our hip flexors, our thigh muscles. We use our backbones. We use the backs too much. And so what happens in pregnancy is when we're not using our glutes and then we don't use them through pregnancy, everything else has to kick in. Mm-hmm. And there are much smaller stability muscles within your pelvis underneath your bigger gluteal muscles, especially the one piriformis, which you can stretch out by doing pigeon pose in yoga. The sciatic nerve runs through that. And what happens a lot of the time in pregnancy is because you've lost that stability, those muscles kick in really, really hard to try and keep you together. And then they squeeze around that nerve and it causes lots of problems. And that's why you also then get these sort of low back pains on one side. That's your sacroiliac joint, because that becomes a little bit unstable as well. And, you know, it shifts like half a millimeter, but can cause tons of pain, and your pubic symphysis as well.
I don't think I even, until I specialised in pre and postnatal, I don't think I really realised the role of the glutes in the pelvic floor. Again, you're not really tall, are you? It's something you don't work until you start specialising in that area and you're like, oh, wow, it's like, it's so important.
But if you think of the structure of your pelvis, if you think of the bones, and that's the main sort of load-bearing area of your body. And it's also holding all of those internal organs. It's keeping you up. So if all the muscles around that area aren't working effectively, then it's just going to cause pain, because the external muscles, so all of the other ones have to kick in, they get tight, it causes loads of biomechanical problems, then you get back pains, you get hip pains and all of this. So if we can get you as strong as possible, then it's much better later on in life.
Something we feel isn't talked about enough, which again we see quite a lot in clinic, is just how emotionally linked the pelvic floor is, and how often when I have clients in and they're having pelvic floor, and often when they've come to see you, they think their pelvic floor is weak, but actually it's hypertonic because of this sort of stress response. Like what can women do for that? You know, obviously they need to go and see a specialist, but how do we release the pelvic floor fully and functionally without it kind of causing weakness?
So I see lots and lots of women with pelvic pain syndromes such as vulvodynia, vaginismus, and they are often all linked to tight pelvic floor. That also then has a link to our emotional stress. There's a huge link between emotion and the pelvic floor. So any stress, anxiety, trauma going on, that can lead to tightness in the pelvic floor and pelvic pain. I explain to my patients that, you know, if you are feeling a bit rubbish, what do? We go into a fetal position. You know, that's our protective position, is to curl up into a ball, but that then causes all of this tightness. So you may sleep in a fetal position, you crunch yourself up as sort of a protection. If someone comes near you and you're feeling a bit rubbish, you'd curl up again into a ball. So everything just becomes tighter and tighter in that area. I also explain that it's exactly the same as if your friend had headaches from stress and had neck pain and shoulder pain. It's just a different area of the body that's getting tight. But your friend with the headaches and the neck pain can tell everyone, oh, I've got really bad headaches. Oh, I've got neck pain. I'm going to go and get a massage. I'm going to go and see a physio and get that sorted. If you've got pelvic pain and you've got severe pain inside your vagina, who do you talk to? No one. You feel like you're an island on your own, just dealing with this hideous problem with nowhere to turn. But there is so much. So I see lots of ladies. We work on lots of down training techniques. So the biggest thing is trying to work out the causes of the stress and how to deal with those. So lots of breathing techniques, meditations. I use lots of soft tissue massage around the external muscles, lots of stretching, like happy baby and yoga is a really good pelvic opener. And then breathing all the way down into the pelvis. One of the big things with these types of pains is disassociating as well. Mm-hmm. So ladies tend to switch off from their pelvis. Like if you've had a traumatic birth and you've never dealt with it, you switched off from that area, and then you've had stress and tension and it's all gone into that area. You just don't even think about it. You just don't want to. So one of the big things is trying to reassociate. So getting them to feel their pelvis, to remember that it's them, because that's the way that we then are able to treat it, because it has to be part of their body for them to understand that it can get better.
Oh, it's honestly, this is just so insightful. I mean, I'm finding this fascinating, and I've been to see you, and I know I have more than a basic knowledge. Becky's exactly the same. So I can only imagine people listening right now might hopefully are having moments when they really are feeling quite validated, actually, for what they might have been going through, what they might have experienced 2, 5, 10, 20 years ago. It doesn't matter because we can hold on to these things for such a long time.
I think it's really important to say that often it doesn't take too long to work through this stuff either, does it? You know, like, I often have clients who will come and see you for a few sessions, and they come back and they're like different people. Their bodies have released, you know, they're just softer. They're I can work with them better. And it, you know, so it's not like you have to do loads and loads and loads. Often it is small, like a quick release, and little and often, isn't it? So
I think a lot of it's education as well. I think as soon as women understand what's going on and understand that they're not just going crazy and that there is help, that's a huge weight off their minds. Like, to know that someone else has got this and someone else has got better from this, and actually there's so much I can do to help myself, it's really empowering. So lots of people they leave the session going, oh, I feel so much better already. And then we work on all the things that they can do at home. You know, as a physio, we never want to see people forever. We want to see people, empower them to be able to help themselves if things come back in the future. And this is what I say to a lot of women, is that, especially with the pelvic pain syndromes, is that these symptoms are likely to return at some point in your life, whether that's because you've had a grief event or a trauma or something's happened, a stress event. It will likely come back, but you will now have the tools to be able to stop that from getting worse again. And you know that you can get yourself better. So rather than letting it get really, really bad, they can use those tools to go, okay, I can handle this. This is okay.
Yeah.
Such an important narrative, such an important story to share, because what we've seen through the years, and we joke about it, but really it's not funny, is woman is incontinent. Woman puts in a big fat lady pad, you know, smiles and jumps out the door and gets on with her day like absolutely nothing has happened.
Yeah.
And this is the narrative that we see often in advertising on television, in magazines. And we don't see that this isn't actually okay. You deserve to feel better than this. And there's actually help out there that you can get. And one of the things that always fascinates me is, if a man had an experience, and this might be controversial, and I apologize, it's just one thought, okay? If a man had an experience, something physical his body had been through, and it left him incontinent, would he be happy for 10 years to pop a pad in his undercrackers and crack on with the day?
No,
I think probably not.
Think about that for a moment, because I can't see that would be okay.
It's interesting that, actually, because I do see some men with symptoms as well, but they come and see me a lot sooner than
this is what I'm wondering.
But I think that's also because, you know, we're so busy with the kids. It takes an average woman 7 years to seek help for incontinence. Because of the fact that it's when the children are at school and you've got a bit more time. Lex, you are
I'm gonna be honest. Yeah. I've got to just put my hand up and
be
that person.
And you had us both nagging you constantly, didn't you? But it was about having space, I guess.
Do you know what it was? It was literally, Tina, you're absolutely spot on. I actually had told myself in my head, when Wilf starts school, you go and get that fixed. And so my three children were at school. Now it's time for me to look after me. That is the story we tell ourselves. And I cannot be the only person doing that.
No, I think
that's so common.
We see it time and time again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's so important because, you know, urinary incontinence, yes, it's really, really common. That's why there are these products out there. But it's not normal and it can be treated. So it's, you know, with just a few sessions of physio and going and doing your exercises.
If I could have gone back and seen you, Tina, after I had Toby almost 10 years ago now, I mean, I do regret that. Even I didn't know about it the way that I do now, and I wish I had, because it was a game changer. And honestly, it's... you know, it's common sense. If I'd have just known that you were there and I could have gone to see you, it would have made such a difference. It really would have.
But it is, it's all education and understanding, isn't it? And that's why we need to promote this as much as possible and get the word out, get mums talking to each other. so that they know that these services are available. So many of my clients are all through word of mouth because, you know, they're mums and they've told their friend. Because I've said, you know, tell your mums that this isn't okay, that you've had this experience, because I'm sure most of them are experiencing the same thing, but just not talking about it.
But we laugh it off, don't we? We make light of it. We put it in the can't deal with that right now box and we think, oh, I can't go for a run or I'll wee myself. I wee myself a bit when I'm laughing about something and I definitely can't get on a trampoline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that just becomes, we normalise that's just the way it is.
Yeah. I went to an exercise class, which was a HIIT class. And the first time I went, we were doing one of the exercises and one of the ladies there went, oh, this is the wet your pants exercise. And I was like, excuse me? And she was like, oh, we all call this the wet the pants exercise. And I was like, no. Guys.
You're like, do you know who I am? You can't say that to me.
We need to talk.
No, exactly. We need a session. No.
But you're right in that it's a lot about shame as well, isn't it? Because I often have ladies who are like, well, I'm a bit embarrassed. And because I often, when I refer to you and they say, oh, I'm a bit embarrassed, I'm like, don't be embarrassed. But also, would you be embarrassed to go to the doctor if your eye kept leaking? Yeah. Like, you wouldn't, would you? You'd go, oh, I've got this weird thing, my eye keeps leaking, or your nose. Or, but again, it's because we're taught to hide, to be quite private and hide it. And I think that's definitely something we need to change. You know, our pelvic health is just as important as every other bit of our body, and it isn't shameful.
That's why we need to be teaching our children, both boys and girls, of the importance. It's things like, you know, teaching our boys about our periods and not letting them feel weird about it, and
absolutely
teaching our girls to look at their bits and stuff so they know what the anatomy is. You know, still there are girls out there that don't realize that you have three holes. You know, it's so the education isn't there.
So Tina, can we just finish with a little sex talk? We know that lots of ladies worry about having sex after a vaginal birth and they're sort of worried about it hurting or if it's okay, if it's safe. Any top tips for getting back in the sack after having a baby?
Yes. So I get that lots from my ladies as well. So asking about that, it's a really scary, daunting thought after, especially, you know, if you've had stitches, if you've had an assisted delivery or anything like that. My biggest take home for them is to do it when they're ready. They've got to take control as well. So often the first time they have intercourse, it feels too deep and it feels quite sore. So lots of lube as well. And I massively promote yes, 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 lube.
Yes, we do as well, actually.
Yeah, good.
Because did you know, I heard that over-the-counter lube has so many chemicals in it. And apparently there's more testing done on hamster bedding than there is on what goes into lube.
Oh, I heard that over-the-counter lubes are made for men, not for women.
Yeah,
I know.
Ooh,
but it goes into, but also we've got no kind of protective layer, have we? So whatever goes internally gets absorbed. So that's insane.
So they're not made for women, whereas the yes, yes, yes ones are made for women, which are brilliant. So
we went to see them do a talk once, Tina, and the yes, yes, yes ladies, didn't we, Becky, up in London? And I didn't realise this, and it makes a lot of sense, that when you go through the menopause, your estrogen drops.
Yeah.
And it was developed by ladies who were going through the menopause and still wanted to have great sex during the menopause throughout. And then realised that actually it worked equally as well postnatally when often you do have low estrogen as well. So,
but again, lots of people don't know this. Lots of people don't realise that you're a bit dry after birth. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of chafe a little bit, and actually using lube makes it much more pleasurable. Again, we need to talk about it, don't we?
Vaginal dryness. And then also if you've had stitches, you've got any scar tissue there, the two things together. And then just the hesitation and the tightness that you might feel because, you know, you're getting nervous back to having sex after quite a while, quite often. Yeah. It's a, you know, it's a bit of a...
But it's a big one of taking control and being and doing it when you want to. And if it hurts, stop. And just to maybe have a feel with your finger inside and just see if it where it's tender. That's the other thing with stitches. Massage your stitches. You know, women will ignore them because they're weird and they're horrible and it doesn't feel right. Both C-section stitches and like episiotomy stitches or tear stitches, just get something nice on them, just a little bit of gentle oil on them, and really get in there and massage the stitches so that skin doesn't feel tight and it loosens up a bit. and just being in tune with yourself a little bit more. Have a look, have a feel.
If you're curious as well and you want to know a bit more, and I obviously these things fascinate me, and Becky, we talk about it a lot. There's a brilliant book called The Anatomy of Arousal. I've got to be honest, I can't remember who the author is, but it's a best-selling book. I think it's an American author.
Yeah.
Author who, a friend of mine, who's a menstrual cycle specialist, Nina, actually, Hayley, who we had on the last season, recommended it to me, and it's so interesting. And there were things in there that fascinated me about the anatomy and physiology, basically of pleasure, arousal, intercourse, of those things. So highly recommend that if anyone's curious to know more.
I think it's something like it takes a woman around 30 minutes to be ready to have intercourse, to be aroused enough to have actual penetration. And, you know, if you've got a new baby, you don't have time for all of that. So it does. That's why I think sometimes it can be a bit more sore and it can feel a bit more dry because you're just not ready.
Yeah.
So just take your time.
That's where we often say actually have some skin to skin. You know, we talk about skin to skin with babies, but actually having skin to skin with your partner can be a really good way of kind of getting all those hormones. But you do need to, and we often say actually just take it slow. You do need to take time. I didn't realise it was about 30 minutes, but that makes sense.
I didn't like my boobs being touched after
I had kids.
I hated it.
Because you start lactating, don't you? And you're like, oh, now I've lost my mojo.
Yeah, and it was all a bit sore and everything else. And I think sometimes as well, you know, especially when you've had more than one child, you feel like everyone is touching you and everyone's and you don't actually feel like, so if your libido is low, don't worry about it, it will come back. Just try and still be intimate with your partner. So, you know, hugs and kisses and still trying to be kind to each other is really, really important, because sometimes you don't want to have sex because you're just like, oh, I've had someone tugging at me all the time and feeding off here and doing this. I don't want my partner grabbing my boob and giving me a squeeze or whatever. You know, you just don't want that, do you? So it's just taking control and just, but still trying to have that intimacy.
And slowly, like you say, on your terms, when you're ready, and
it's your
with
body.
Intention. Absolutely. Always. Yeah. Yeah. Finally, we always ask our lovely guests the following question, Tina. If you could add a note to pop inside a mother box heading out to a brand new mum with your best bit of advice or guidance on it, what would it say?
I'd say to be kind to yourself, take time to get the support and help you need. And by looking after yourself, you will be the best at looking after your family.
Oh, yay.
That's so true.
I love that.
So it's so important. You know, if you can look after yourself, you will be a better mum. You'll be a better at doing everything.
It's true. And actually, how many women do we see in clinic who are so depleted because they have just constantly shoved themselves at the bottom of the pile, and then their body just goes, nah, not having this, and something happens that I always remember one of my teachers saying, you need to listen to your body's whispers before it shouts. And that's so true,
that's
isn't
nice.
It?
Kind of, that's good.
Very much so. Tina, you are such an authority, and it is absolutely brilliant having you, your insight, your knowledge, sharing with us this incredible information. Thank you for taking time out today to chat to us at the Mother Box. That's absolutely brilliant.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been lovely. Good to chat to you, ladies.
Thanks once again to the lovely Tina Mason for joining us today and sharing her brilliant advice with us.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to know more about the work that we do, look out for our books, The Little Book of Self-Care for New Mums and The Little Book of Self-Care for Mums-to-Be, where we will talk further about birth, parenthood, relationships and much more.
We've really enjoyed this episode. We're sure that you all have your own stories of your bubbers and their love for our partner this season, Sophie Le Giraffe, and we would love for you to share them with us.
Send us your photos and your stories to our Instagram @notesfromthemotherbox, and don't forget to tag @SophieLeGiraffeUK on Facebook and Instagram to share your pics with her too.
Join us again next week for more chats with another amazing guest.
See you next time on Notes from the Mother Box.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.